Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio. Hello and welcome to Salford City Radio. I'm Jill Bowyer, and joining me today is Sue Sutton on our regular spot. Sue.
Thanks, Jill, and thanks to listeners as well. And it's really great to be back, but even more great to see some sunshine.
Lovely today.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to answering. We've had some questions from our customers from last time, so I want to kind of answer those questions as best I can, really, and just share some of the latest news as well from Salix Homes. So I'll get straight into the questions, if that's okay, Jill. So in the last show, I talked about the recent rent increases that have come into effect in April, why, and, you know, kind of why we've increased rents and kind of what that increase in rent would mean for services and stuff. And following on from that, we've had some questions about service charge increases. So I thought it would be useful just to kind of explain service charges, what they mean and how they're charged.
Yeah.
Because I think there's sometimes some confusion over that. So service charges are basically anything that you might pay for that's outside of your normal rent, or if you are a leaseholder who lives in a block where you might own your flat, but there's still some communal charges that need to be paid. So they're kind of what your service charges are. And, you know, service charges have to be reasonable, and it's not that recharge to make a profit. Our stance is we will only charge for what we pay for and kind of recharge that back. But I think it's obviously, and we all know, we talked about cost of living. I think on all the sessions I've been on, we've seen some, you know, unprecedented economic kind of activity, if you like, over the last few years, where gas and electric charges have gone through the roof. Inflation. So, you know, if we're delivering services that might be being delivered by a third party, such as communal repairs and stuff, then inflation's gone up, the costs of those have gone up. So, you know, we have seen an increase in service charges that, you know, in an ideal world, we could all do without. So it has been difficult, I would say. There are some services that we probably could charge for that we don't. All the work we did post Grenfell in 2017, so we had to do a lot of fire remedial work when all the standards were kind of raised as a result of Grenfell. We didn't recharge that. We did those works and we didn't recharge it. We just did what we needed to do in our high-rise blocks. So I think in terms of how the service charges are passed on to customers and the process that we use, so what we have, what we call variable service charges, and how that works is every April we will estimate the cost of the services we're going to provide to you for the forthcoming year. We base those estimates on what we know and what we've previously known, but of course those costs can go up and down throughout the year. So what happens then is at the end of the financial year, so you get your statement in April, at the end of March we have all the costs in for that year, and we know them for sure and for definite what your costs have been. You will get an actual statement then in September. So it's almost like 18 months on, if you like. But you'll get an actual statement in the September, and that will give you the actual costs. Some service areas might have cost us a bit more, some might have cost us less, but either way, you will receive an adjustment. If we haven't charged you enough, then we'll let you know how much we're going to charge you on top of your next annual bill. If we've charged you too much, we'll make an adjustment so that we decrease those costs. So rather than us fix the costs in April, because we could actually be charging you too much, we do it on a variable basis, so you actually only pay for what you receive. And they will fluctuate, because if, you know, if there's some communal repair costs in there, they might be very low one year, they might be high the year after. As I've talked about gas and electric, our high-rise blocks have most of them have a 24-hour concierge service on, so it's different costs for kind of depending on where you live, I suppose. We do pride ourselves, and this might not come across, but, you know, we do pride ourselves in making sure that we only recharge for those services and those costs to us. More than happy if anybody wants to, you know, get in touch to have a conversation about that. More than happy to speak to people about that. But that, in a nutshell, I think, is how, you know, how we operate variable service charges.
It sounds like a very fair system.
I mean, we haven't always done it that way. We've always done it that way since we became a standalone organisation. But I can remember in the past where we did a fixed service charges, and we just used to estimate what it would cost in the apron, and that's the cost. We did find then that tenant customers who didn't receive the service were subsidising.
Right.
So if we weren't charging enough, other people's rent. So it's a difficult one, I think, variable, and us being clear with this is your estimate, this is your actual, then people can see what that means. And some of those costs have gone up quite significantly, as I've said, gas, electric, communal, stuff like that. But hopefully we'll start to see those coming down over the next year or so.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And then, you know, the only thing I would add to that is if customers are not happy with some of those services, then contact us. You know, we need to understand you've got a housing officer now, you should know who that is, or call us or email us, or, you know, however you want to get in touch. And also, I think if anyone is struggling with, you know, bills and money and budget and stuff like that, give us a call and we'll do what we can to help. I think there's a perception, isn't there, that things have calmed down, but things will never probably go back to as low as they were before they kind of hiked up anyway. So I would say still difficult, and we're still in those difficult times, I would say. So, yeah, please give us a call, give us a shout if there's anything you think we can do to help.
This is 94.4 FM.
Salford City Radio.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
And then we've had some comments and questions, if you like, from a few customers who've raised issues or complaints with us, as they don't feel like they're being listened to or kind of getting anywhere with us dealing with their issues and complaints. I would say specifically around antisocial behaviour, noise, nuisance, crimes being committed, etc. I think we are starting to see a reduction in complaints around repairs, and I spoke about that, I think, the last time I was on, and even the time before, where we've seen a massive demand, an increase in demand for repairs, and we've put some additional resources in place. I think we're starting to see some of the impact of that, and hopefully throughout this year we'll see kind of those complaints reduce even further. But in terms of antisocial behaviour, or customers feeling we're not dealing with the antisocial behaviour in an appropriate way, I would like to apologise to any customers who do feel that way. Obviously, I'm not going to sit here and say we get things right all the time, because we don't. But, you know, we do want to be as transparent as possible. And kind of when it happens, we do try and learn from, when we get it wrong, we learn from customers' feedback. You'll be able to see we've recently kind of upgraded our website, significantly so. But we will be putting lots of learning points on there. So where we haven't got something right, or we've made a change because customers have said, this doesn't work this way, we're kind of telling the story a bit more so that customers can see that we are trying to change. I think probably, and I'm veering off from antisocial behaviour, but I do think this is probably important. So one of the changes we've made recently is how we deal with pest control.
Right.
So in our tenancy agreement, it was very clear that if you had pests in your house, rodents, or vermin, whatever, then it was your responsibility, and you would need to phone. We used to refer people on to Salford City Council's pest control team, but it was costing people £40 a go, which, if you cost a living, and if you ain't got £40, you ain't got it, have you? We've changed that now. We've got a policy where ringers will kind of send someone out to kind of deal with. And obviously, you know, there's circumstances where vermin will come in from outside, or there might be issues with areas where there's rubbish round about and stuff like that. So you know, we'll review everything and understand, but we'll try and work with the customer. So, you know, we realise that people paying £40 a time for people couldn't afford that. Yeah. So we've changed that approach, but that was because we didn't realise maybe the impact that was happening on some of our customers and their health and their mental health. So that is just something, an example of where we've listened and changed things. In terms of antisocial behaviour, and obviously, you know, if you are living in a situation where you feel scared or threatened, or there's antisocial behaviour going on in your neighbourhood, or you live in an accommodation where noise is an issue, and we are seeing more and more complaints of noise, I would say, probably particularly in our high-rise, because as you can imagine, if you're living in that kind of environment, you know, the noise probably seems twice as loud as anywhere else. So we do get kind of lots of complaints about noise. We try and deal with them, and we'll speak to the complainant, and then we'll speak to the person who they are complaining about, and we try and deal with it in an amicable way. Obviously, that doesn't always happen, but equally, I think there's probably a bit of a misunderstanding on, you know, we still get people who say, evict them, evict those people. Well, we can't just do that. We have lots of process that we need to go through to get to that point, if we ever get to that point at all. So, you know, we'll ask people to keep diaries, and that sometimes frustrates people. But the more evidence we have, the easier it is for us to kind of take any kind of action. So I would encourage anyone, really, if they are suffering from antisocial behaviour, just to keep as much information as possible. And I think, the other thing I would say in terms of some of those comments, there is also a perception, I think, that people think I should be dealing personally with some of those things. And believe me, I do get involved personally with quite a lot of those things. I think I said this previously as well. I see every complaint response now before it goes out, just so I can understand what's going on and what people are complaining about. But if you genuinely feel, and I do speak to customers on a regular basis, customers have my phone number, they've got my email address, but if you genuinely feel that we are not doing something, or you are feeling very frustrated, then by all means contact me directly. You know, my email address is sue.sutton@salixhomes.co.uk. People do, and I speak to people on a regular basis, as I say. But that's not to say that if you come to me, that I will then take over from where your housing officer is, because I believe my staff are people in work, do an incredibly difficult job and try their best to do the best for our customers on a daily basis. But, you know, if you genuinely feel we could do something better, then by all means contact me. I will speak to your housing officer, but I'm not going to take over what they should be doing. And I can't fix everything is the other thing.
Your local community radio station, Salford City Radio.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
People will contact me sometimes about, they've bid for a property, for instance, and I will come on to that in a second, but, you know, they've bid for a property and Salix haven't given them that property and they think they should get that. There's a process to go through. Sometimes it's just understanding that our hands are tied as much as anyone else's. I would say probably where you've lived in a home with your family and or the tenant is your mum or your dad and they pass away, then people get really angry about not being able to stay in that family home. And there's a whole legal process to go through around succession. And it may be that you do succeed to a tenancy, but it's not the property that you're in, because it might not be suitable for your needs. And that gets people really upset and angry, and I understand that. People will come to me directly then, but there is a legal process that I can't step out of, if that makes sense. But, you know, by all means, contact me. We are trying to, and I think again I talked about this on one of my previous sessions, we're now doing quarterly, everybody in the organisation goes out on the estate. Next one is on the 5th of June, But your housing officers, and we purposely put more housing officers in place so that they've got smaller patches, they can get out and about, they can speak to people. And as part of that process, we've just recently published on the website our calendar of events. So that kind of tells people, tells our customers, when your housing officer is in your area. We'll have regular walkabouts, surgeries. So, you know, I'd urge you to check that. And when we're in your area, come and speak to us. You can also check who your local housing officer is on our website.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
One of the things I was criticised for was not attending or going out to one of our schemes, for one of our independent older living schemes. We've got a whole kind of programme of surgeries in those schemes for the next 12 months. So I've got them in my diary now to go out and kind of speak to people in those as well. But yeah, I would say get to know who your housing officer is. I appreciate that, you know, over the last couple of years, we probably haven't been out and about as much. We've got into a habit of working in a certain way as a result of COVID, but we're trying to move away from that. People are now in the office and in the neighbourhoods more frequently. So yeah, please feel free to contact me and we'll see what we can do if you have got an issue.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
One of the other questions we've had, and like this kind of links into a bit what I was saying before about housing, is how people go about applying for social housing. And believe me, it's difficult. It's very difficult, you know. There is a massive... I only wish we could build more, but, you know, it's land, it's cost, it's money, it's all of those things, but... We are in the depths of a housing crisis, probably like one we've never seen before, really. And it's well documented. It's been in the news quite a lot. You know, there's thousands of people on the housing waiting list in Salford alone. I read something somewhere the other day where it said someone who applies for a social housing property could be on a waiting list for 55 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's not necessarily Salford, but it was just that kind of where we are. There's a big push at the moment to kind of build more social, to build a new scheme or to build new properties. So I've got to stack up financially. It's got to pay back. You have to borrow money to do it and stuff. So, you know, there's all those things to consider. But we've just recently had a scheme approved by our board for us to kind of go to the next stage with it, and that will be all social housing units in there. So, you know, we're doing our best. Others are doing their best, but it does get more difficult. But there is a massive, massive shortage of housing at the minute, I would say particularly social.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
To at least apply for a social housing property, the first step in Salford, that is you need to register with Salford Home Search via the Salford Council's website. It's an online platform. It's run by Salford Council. But I would say all social housing providers who operate in Salford will advertise most of, if not all of, their properties on that platform. You can use it to view properties that are currently available, not just from us, from other landlords, and see what best suits your needs. The difficulty is, you know, once you register and then you've been accepted, you'll be categorised, you'll be put in a band, you'll be placed in a housing need based on your circumstances. And to be fair, you know, if you are genuinely, it just depends on the need that you're in. You could be on that list for years and years and never get a social housing property. We are working closely with partners to try and address that, but that's kind of the reality of it, I think. So you'll be able to place an expression of interest on any properties that are advertised. People would know that as, you know, you'd bid on a property. I would say, though, again, there'll be a lot of people bidding on that same property as you're bidding on because of the shortage. And when a property's closed for bids, there's a short list of applicants is drawn up. And then based on your need, and this is really important, so based on your housing need will determine where you come in that list. So the people are prioritised on their circumstances.
What's the sort of list of priorities?
Well, obviously there'd be homeless, temporary accommodation, children. You get points. You kind of have medical needs if you're severely overcrowded. So there'll be a points based system. So when you apply, that then yeah. will determine kind of where yeah. you come on that list. Yeah. And, you know, you may be, it may be that 1 week you apply and you come second on a list for a property. The week after you might apply and you might come 20 on.
Yeah.
It just depends, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think if you visit the council's website, that it will explain to you in a lot yeah. more detail. Because I do think there is sometimes still a misunderstanding of how that process works as well. Mm. And, you know, I've had people call me and say, I need to move from here. There's a property coming empty in such a road. And you know, this is the process, yeah. what we have to go through.
Yeah.
And I suppose this is the fairest way to do yeah. that. You know, yeah. so, yeah, difficult for everyone, really, I think. But, yeah, I just wish we had lots more houses. I really do. So, in terms of the questions, I would say they probably cover the questions we've been asked. I'd like to kind of finish today, unless mm-hmm. there's any more questions from you, Jill. But just reminding people about our Springboard. So, Springboard is our community grant scheme. We first launched it back in 2017. And that's us providing grants to local groups, community projects across Salford. Anyone can apply, whether you're an established community group, a charity, a school, or an individual with a great idea for a community project. You don't need to be a Salix customer, but you just need your project to benefit the communities in which, obviously, Salix kind of working in Salford and operating in Salford. It is a criteria, but it's all about community spirit, boosting community spirit, promoting health and well-being, reducing isolation, improving the environment. So we've funded allotments in the past, we've funded youth groups, we've done, so I think last year alone we supported 44 community groups in Salford. We've also supported food banks, food pantries and stuff like that. So again, you know, if there's something, then please visit our website and have a look at that, or contact your housing officer. Someone will provide you with an application form. I think last year we funded to the total of £50,000. And, you know, that might not sound a lot when you think of all the activity that goes on in Salford and the groups, and there are some fantastic volunteers and groups across Salford who do some amazing work. But sometimes it's just a few £100 will make a difference. Mm. So, you know, I would urge you, if there's anything at all, give us a shout. You know, we have had a few £100, several £1,000s, depending on the application. You know, I think we've talked about the cost of living quite a lot today, and funding has probably been reduced over time to some of these groups. So, you know, it can be a lifeline. So please, I would urge you to. So if anyone is listening, is involved in a charity, a club or a community project in need of funding, then please would encourage you to apply. Application forms and more information is available on our website, which is www.salixhomes.co.uk. So anything, you know, if you go on our website and there's anything on there that you feel you need to ask questions about, there'll be an opportunity for you to do that. We've updated all our, or we're in the process of updating our kind of building safety information pages, for instance, customer engagement framework page. If you want to get involved, then there's opportunities. I really would encourage you to kind of visit the website. And that's it, I think, from me today, Jill. Again, you know, thanks for people who are sending us in questions, and please carry on doing so. Keep saying to others in work that it will be your turn next. And, you know, it probably shouldn't just be me who people are listening to or hearing from. There's probably some others who could probably answer some of the questions better than I, given on a kind of operational day-to-day basis. But please, yeah, submit your questions for the next show. You can do it via our Facebook page, website, or by emailing marketing@salixhomes.co.uk.
Thanks very much, Sue. It's been really, you know, sort of very informative listening to you, I'm sure, to lots of people as well. Thank you.
This is 94.4 FM. Salford City Radio.